نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله، we praise Allah, we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no deity, no God, no object of worship, worthy of worship, has the right to be worshipped, is worshipped in truth, other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this religion. And every newly invented matter in this religion is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the hellfire. I just wanted to make a few points from last week's class, and then we'll continue with our explanation for this week. Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani rahimahullah said last, as we quoted last week, al-ba'ithu of messengers to them as proof against them, or the sender of messengers to them, to humanity, as proof against them. Then he finalized and put an end to the inspiring and sending of revelation, the giving of warnings and the sending of prophets by sending Muhammad, his prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus he made him the last of the messengers, a bearer of glad tidings and a warner, and as one who invites to Allah by his permission and as a clear light. And he revealed his wise book to him. I just wanted to make the point that Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani is making here, just to reiterate it, because there may be some questions on it, and that is the fact that Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hisham ibn Abd Munaf sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the last prophet and the last messenger, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran in Surah Ra'd, verse number 30, كَذَلِكَ أَرْسَلْنَاكَ فِي أُمَّةٍ قَدَ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهَا أُمٌ لِتَتْلُوَ عَلَيْهِمُ الَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ وَهُمْ يَكْفُرُونَ بِالرَّحْمَنِ قُلْ هُوَ رَبِّي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ مَتَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this verse, and likewise we have sent you. And here when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying sent you, he's referring to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sending of him as a messenger to a nation upon which nations before them have passed. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to a nation, meaning humanity, to the day of judgment, just as nations have come before this nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that you can read to them that which we have revealed to you, so that you can recite to them that which we have revealed to you, referring to the Quran. And Allah goes on to say, and they disbelieve in Ar-Rahman. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating the fact that he has sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to humanity to recite the Quran to them, knowing beforehand that they disbelieve in Ar-Rahman. And this is advice to all of us, that we should recite the verses of the Quran to the disbelievers, though we know they disbelieve. When we call the people to Islam, we call them to Islam by the Quran. And there's no need for us to entertain the point that they disbelieve in the Quran, so how can you quote them a book that they disbelieve? But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that he has sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the Quran to recite it to humanity, knowing that they disbelieve in Ar-Rahman. Allah goes on to say, He is my Lord, there is no deity that has the right to be worshipped other than Him, On him do I rely, and to him I repent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter number 21, verse number 107, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we have not sent you as a messenger, except as a mercy to all of the world. لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we've mentioned last week, لِلْعَالَمِينَ, as we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praises to Allah, Lord of all the world. So when Allah says He has sent you, referring to Muhammad, as a messenger, as a messenger and mercy to all of the world, that is referring to all of humanity, not to the Arabs that were present on the Arabian Peninsula during the life of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, chapter number 4, verse number 79, وَأَرْسَلْنَاكَ لِلنَّاسِ رَسُولًا وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. And we have sent you as a messenger to humanity. And we have sent you as a messenger to humanity, and Allah is sufficient as a shaheed. And Allah is sufficient as a shaheed, as a witness. And Allah is sufficient as a witness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His Quran is showing us that He has sent Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a messenger to humanity and not to the Arabs in Mecca. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Saba, verse number 28, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And we have not sent you except to all of humanity. And we have not sent you as a messenger except to all of humanity, as a giver of glad tidings and a warner, but most of the people just don't know. But most of the people don't know. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter number 7, verse number 158, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Say, and here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to the Prophet and the Messenger, the last Prophet and Messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, O humanity, O mankind, indeed I am the Messenger of Allah to all of you. The reason I just wanted to reiterate this point, because the Imam, may Allah preserve him, had asked me who were the two people that I referred to last week when I said that anyone who comes after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, claiming to be a prophet or a messenger to his people, in specific, he is a liar, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran teaches us that he has sent Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hisham sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to all of humanity as a messenger and as a prophet. In these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was using the word messenger, وَأَرْسَلْنَاكَ, and we have sent you as a messenger. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a prophet and a messenger, the last prophet and the last messenger to humanity. And anyone who comes up after him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, claiming to be a prophet or a messenger to humanity or to his people, is a liar, just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to call the one who claimed to be a messenger, not to humanity, but just to his people, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him, Musaylama al-Kazzab. Musaylama al-Kazzab, or Musaylama the liar. Because he said that he was a prophet or a messenger to his people after the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I was referring to the person in India as Ghulam Ahmed, who is the leader and the founder of what is known as the Ahmadiyya sect. And in America, there were more than one person who said that he was either a messenger or a prophet to his people or to humanity after the advent of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are Nobu Zu Ali and Rashad Khalifa, who just recently got killed a couple years back, and of course Elijah Muhammad. He said that he was the messenger of Allah, referring to his people. Anyone who has come after the Prophet, the Messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is a liar, just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that there will come after him prophets and messengers, all of them will be liars. So I just wanted to reiterate that point and to show these verses and to show that no one has any hard feelings against anyone, but that this religion is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah speaks the truth and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks the truth from revelation revealed to him. This is a very important point of our belief, and a lot of things are based upon it. And I reiterate it because in America, unfortunately, we have had many people who have claimed to be either prophets or messengers. All of them were liars. There's no need to look into anything that they did, because when they uttered that statement of disbelief, Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, by saying that they were a messenger or a prophet besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we just wanted, I lost my train of thought. We just wanted to reiterate it because it happened so many times in America that we should keep this belief, and we should always remind the Muslims of this belief in order that they don't be fooled or tricked by someone coming claiming to be a prophet or a messenger because he may have some good works. We don't need to be fooled by anyone's good works, because there's no more prophet or messenger after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد for any questions left on the last point inshallah ta'ala this week we're going to cover the statement or the translated statement of Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani rahimahullah, as he said, and Allah has doubled and or multiplied the good deeds of his believing servants, and he has forgiven their major sins by their repentance, and he has pardoned their minor sins by staying away from their major sins, and he has left the major sins of those who haven't repented under his will. Verily, Allah does not forgive the ascribing of partners to him, but he forgives anything or everything other than that to whom he pleases. Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani rahimahullah, making this point of our belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has doubled, rather has multiplied the good deeds of his believing servants, and there are many verses in the Quran and many hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani was pulling from when he made this statement, and Allah has doubled and or multiplied the good deeds of his believing servants, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter number 2 verse number 261, after I say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, Allah says مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse in Quran says, the example of the one who gives his wealth for the sake of Allah and the path of Allah is like a seed that I think I need to use the translation.
People spend their wealth in the cause of Allah and do not follow up their gifts with reminders of their generosity or with injury, their reward.
That's 261 or 260?
260. 261.
Yeah.
Okay. The likeness of those who spend their wealth in the way of the law is as if the likeness of a grain of sand grows 7 years, and each year has 100 grains.
That's it. Jazakallah khairan. So the example, Jazakallah khairan, the example of those who give their wealth for the sake of the path of Allah is like a seed that grows to seven ears.
That grows 7 ears.
That's ears of corn. On each ear is 100 seeds, or grains, or kernels, or whatever they use, whatever word that is. And Allah will multiply the reward for whoever He pleases, and Allah is wasi'un alim. And Allah is wasi', wide, alim, the all-knowing. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that whoever gives his wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah will multiply his reward many times over for whoever Allah wills. And he had given the example of one seed. As it was one seed, it turns into the whole stalk of corn with ears on it, and each ear having more. So just like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take one good deed that we do for his sake and multiply it and give us as many rewards as he likes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, Surah Al-An'am, verse number 160, and that's chapter number 6, من جاء بالحسنة فله عشر أمثالها ومن جاء بالسيئة فلا يجزى إلا مثلها وهم لا يظلمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, whoever does a good deed, then he has 10 rewards for the like of that deed. And whoever does a bad deed, then he is only punished with the like of that one deed, and he won't be wronged in any way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is showing us that if we do a bad deed, it's only one count against us. But if we do a good deed, then it's 10 times itself. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that he will reward us more than what we do if we do a good deed. But he will only hold us accountable once if we do a bad deed. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse in Surah An-Nisa, chapter number 4, verse number 40, وَإِن تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا وَيُؤْتِ مِنْ لَدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And if there is a good deed, Allah will multiply it, and He will give them a magnificent reward from Himself. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that if we can bring a good deed, if we can perform a good deed for sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being in accordance with the sunnah of His Prophet and Messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah will double and multiply our reward for doing that one single deed. And this is, as we said, in many verses, and we just wanted to mention a few of them, and also in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he says in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, قال الله عز وجل كل عمل ابن آدم يضاعف الحسنة عشر أمثالها إلى 700 ضعف إلى ما شاء الله. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, with the extra narration that I had added from the Sunan of Ibn Majah, and it's also an authentic addition to the hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah azza wa jal said, every action that the son of Adam does is multiplied or doubled. A good deed is worth 10 times itself, up to 700 good deeds or 700 rewards or blessings to whatever Allah pleases. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He named Himself Kareem or the generous, we see how generous Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. All we have to do is to perform one good deed, sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah, in accordance with the sunnah, or the deen that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to humanity, for Allah to double and multiply the reward for us, 10 times itself, to 700 times itself, to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to reward us, for doing a good deed. Like we were saying in the beginning, and I like to mention this point often when we're covering our beliefs, the beliefs of the Muslims, that this belief that we believe in, it's not something that we just hold in our hearts or we mimic on our tongues, but this belief that we hold in our hearts, the belief that we say on our tongues, it encourages us. to do good deeds. It encourages us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a shield that prevents us from doing bad deeds. Who would know that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that He could reward us 10 times for a good deed, or 700 times for a good deed, or as many times as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, who can hold that belief in their heart and not feel encouraged to do good deeds, one after the other, one after the other, to seek the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another hadith stating the same thing, says, and it's also in Sahih Muslim, يقول الله من عمل حسنة فله عشر أمثالها أو أزيد. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith says that Allah says, whoever does a good deed, it is worth 10 times itself, or I can increase it. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to start off with that any good deed that we do is 10 times itself, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can increase it to as many as He likes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kareem. Allah is generous. So generous that we couldn't do enough good deeds, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala couldn't reward us for each good deed that we did 700 times or even more than that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kareem. The generous enough to give us more than we deserve, as He's telling us in these verses in Quran, in these hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters in Islam, let this belief that we hold in our chest be that which urges us and encourages us to do good deeds for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can have the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stored up for those who believe in Him and do good deeds. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this next hadith is showing us also the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He rewards us for the good deeds that we do, and He barely holds us accountable for the bad deeds we do. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this famous hadith, which is in the collection of 40 hadith by Imam al-Nawawi, collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim, he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ كَتَبَ الْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ ثُمَّ بَيَّنَ ذَلِكَ فَمَنْ هَمَّ بِحَسَنَةٍ فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حَسَنَةً كَامِلَةً وَإِنْ هَمَّ بِهَا فَعَمِلَهَا كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ عَشْرَ حَسَنَاتٍ إِلَى 700 ضِعْفٍ إِلَى أَضْعَافٍ كَثِيرَةٍ وَإِنْ هَمَّ بِسَيِّئَةٍ فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا كتبها الله عنده حسنة كاملة وإن هم بها فعملها كتبها الله سيئة واحدة ومحاها الله ولا يهلك على الله إلا هالك. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in this great hadith, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the people who memorize this hadith and always put it in our lives so that we can get the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stored up for those people who we want His reward. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, indeed Allah azza wa jal has written good deeds and bad deeds, or has predetermined that there will be good deeds and there will be bad deeds. And then he explained, Whoever intends to do a good deed but doesn't do it, Allah will reward him with one complete good deed just for intending to do it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to say, if he intends to do it and does it, then Allah will reward him with 10 blessings or 10 rewards, up to 700 rewards, up to many rewards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can reward you as much as He likes for any one good deed that you do. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say, and whoever intends to do a bad deed but doesn't do it, then Allah will reward him with one good deed for intending to do a bad deed but not doing it. And if he intends to do a bad deed and does that bad deed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold him accountable or will punish him for one deed, for one wrong deed. Or Allah will just forgive him of that bad deed for intending to do it and doing it. Allah can either punish him for it or just forgive him altogether, and no one will be destroyed by Allah except for the person who wants destruction. How in the world can someone, after they hear this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be among the destroyed, among the people destined to the hellfire, when the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great? All He calls us to do is to believe in Him and to do out of that which He has commanded us as much as we're able. And for those things, those few handful of things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited us from, is just to stay away from it so that we can get the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stored up for us. Brothers and sisters, I want to make a point, and that is that whoever intends to do a good deed and doesn't do it, then he is rewarded with one good deed. Sometimes people want to do good and intend to do good, but they miss the point. Meaning that they intend to do something sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, they don't take into consideration that the deed or the belief or the statement that they intend to do, they don't take into consideration it being in accordance with the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever intends to do a good deed sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah, but doesn't take into consideration the being in accordance to the religion of Islam, that which Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the Prophet and Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought, that isn't the good deed that was intended that's going to be rewarded. Because as we have explained it early on in our lessons, that deed or that belief or that statement that has the possibility of being acceptable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to fulfill two conditions. The first condition being done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the second condition that it's in accordance with the religion of Allah, the religion that His Prophet brought, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is Islam. Any deed that does not fulfill these two conditions, it doesn't have the possibility of being accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if someone intends to do a good deed sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah, but that wasn't in accordance with the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it's not possible for that deed to be accepted from the very beginning, because it never took into consideration being in accordance with the religion of Allah, the religion that He sent His Prophet and Messenger, the last Prophet and Messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we said that was from what the ulama or the scholars of Islam have explained from the verse in Quran, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. And this is the last verse of Surah Al-Kahf, chapter number 18, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, whoever desires to meet his Lord, then let him perform good deeds. And they say good deeds are deeds that are in accordance with the religion of Islam, that which Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the last Prophet and Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brought from revelation from his Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and says, and he doesn't ascribe any partners in worship with his Lord. That means that the deed has to be done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the meaning of our statement, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no deity, no God, object of worship that has the right to be worshipped other than Allah, meaning that I don't speak, that I don't believe, and I don't act in any form of worship except that I do it sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the slave and messenger of Allah, that I don't practice any practice of worship or do any deed or make any statement or hold any belief except that it's in accordance with what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to humanity. So when we say we intended to do a good deed, but that good deed isn't in accordance with the sunnah or the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that deed won't be accepted from the very beginning. And how often does someone want to do a good deed or intends to do good, but he never does it? This was a statement from one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. As he came into the masjid one day, and he saw the people in a circle, remembering Allah the way that the Shaykh was teaching them to remember Allah. Counting, La ilaha illallah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, they were counting that with pebbles. This was shortly after the death of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still living. He was so upset. How in the world can you be doing this? When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his clothes haven't even worn out because he's just died. And his pottery or eating utensils or whatever he used to have in his house, it hasn't even broken. Meaning he's just died, and here you are inventing something already in the deen. They said, we only wanted to do good. We only intended to do good by saying La ilaha illallah, I don't know how many times, and Subhanallah, how many times the Shaykh says to do it, and counting it with pebbles. They said, we only intended to do good. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu told them, how often does one intend to do good, but he never does it? Showing them that it's not sufficient for you to just intend to do a good, but what has to be coupled with that intention is to intend to do it according to the religion of Islam, the religion that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought to humanity. So brothers and sisters, let's take that fine point into consideration, that whoever intends to do a good deed, that intention has to be coupled with the intention of doing it in accordance with that which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to humanity, for it to be among those good deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained. Whoever does a good deed, intends to do a good deed, but doesn't do it, then he's rewarded with a good deed for intending to do it. That intention here is coupled with the intention of doing it in accordance with the religion of Islam, the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think that we have quoted a hadith in the past to show how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can reward one of his servants for one good deed that he does. One statement that he said, and that was the authentic hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I would give the paraphrase of, من دخل سوق فقال لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. Whoever says that when they enter the marketplace, then they get rewarded with 1 million good deeds. They get 1 million bad deeds forgiven, and they raise 1 million degrees in Jannah just for walking into the marketplace, the corner store, the grocery store, the shoe store, the mall, whatever marketplace you enter in. All you have to do is make that statement, that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. To Him is the praise and to Him is the kingdom. In His hand is the good. He gives life and He calls death. And He has the ability to do everything. All you have to do is to make that dua when you enter the marketplace for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you with 1 million blessings and to forgive you of 1 million bad deeds and to raise you 1 million degrees in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can reward us with whatever He likes. Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani rahimahullah, he goes on to say, after he said, and Allah has doubled and or multiplied the good deeds of His believing servants, and He has forgiven their major sins by their repentance. And He has forgiven their major sins by their repentance, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in an authentic hadith collected by Imam at-Tirmidhi, التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له. And now I'm just having a little doubt, did Imam At-Tirmidhi collect this hadith or not? But this hadith, inshallah ta'ala, is an authentic hadith on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's his statement sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the repenter of a sin is like the person with no sin. The one who repents from the sin that he committed is just like the person who didn't commit a sin in the first place. So here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us just to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for repentance for a bad deed we do, is to wipe our slate, to be just like the people who haven't committed any sins in the first place. And this is what Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirwani is drawing from when he says, and he has forgiven their major sins by their repentance. That any sin that you could commit, no matter how big that sin is, so long as you repent from that sin and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and feel bad that you disobeyed your Lord, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you of your sins and will make you just like the person who didn't commit any sins. We seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's repentance. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another authentic hadith, showing us that everyone is a sinner and that there is no escape from it but to repent, and the ones that repent, they are the best people who sin. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith collected by Imam At-Tirmidhi, قُلْ لِبْنِ آدَمَ خَطَّاءُ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ, that all of the children of Adam are sinners. All of the children of Adam are sinners. And the best of the sinners are the repenters. And the best of the sinners are the repenters. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us that all of us are going to fall short, but all we have to do is to repent to be among the best people who sin. Not that we be among those people who commit a sin and you remind him of it, "Akhi, you shouldn't have did this. Sister, you know you should turn to Allah and fear Allah and don't do that," and so on, and we say, "So what? Alright, I committed sin. I'm a human being. You won't commit no sins." That person, it doesn't even come to their mind to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after he or she has been reminded of the sin. All they can think about is pointing the finger at the other person. "Oh, you don't commit any wrong? You don't make mistakes? You don't fall into sin?" That person isn't even thinking of repenting themselves. How can your repentance be accepted when you never even repented? Brothers and sisters in Islam, let's not be among the arrogant people who, when they're reminded of their shortcomings, that they don't turn back to Allah, but they stand up arrogant and say, "Who are you?" Like you don't commit any wrong. If someone reminds us of our shortcomings, of our sins, calls us to fear Allah, then the first thing we should do is turn back to Allah. We already know that everyone's a sinner and everyone falls short. Just because someone reminds us, we have to remind them. When are we going to return to our Lord? When are we going to seek His forgiveness and ask His repentance so He can accept it from us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verses in His Quran commands us to seek His repentance. As He tells us in Surah An-Nur, verse number 31, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, and repent to Allah, and I command you to repent to Allah, O you who believe, so that you can be successful. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us the way to success, and that is through repentance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another verse commands us to repent with a sincere repentance, as He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا, and that's in Surah Al-Tahrim. And I don't remember the number of that chapter, verse number 8, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, I command you to repent to Allah with a sincere repentance. That when you repent to Allah, you don't just have lip service, "Oh Allah, forgive me," with all of the intentions in the world to do it again. And it reminds me of a teacher I used to have in high school when I used to have Spanish. I used to be guilty of a little mischief in that class. Every time she said, "Don't do that again. I'm sorry, I'm sorry." She said, "I'm tired of you saying I'm sorry. You guilty day in, day out. Soon as I say something, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. How can you be sincere about saying you're sorry and you keep doing day after day the same thing that I tell you not to do?" When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to repent to him, how are we going to say, "Oh Allah, accept from me my repentance," and then we have all of the intentions in the world to keep doing it the next time? "Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, accept my repentance." And then the next day, what do? You go out and do the same sin you did the day before. And on and on and on. Oh you who believe, repent to Allah with a sincere repentance. Be truthful in your heart when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and repentance, that you're not just playing around. That you think that because Allah will accept your repentance, that you just say, "Oh Allah, I repent." But you haven't repented until you sincerely, honestly convict yourself not to do what you did before. If you don't have any intention on leaving that thing, leaving it, then you don't really have any repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You aren't repenting the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to repent. Just as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the finest example, he's showing us how to repent as he says, "Ya ayyuhan nas, tubu ila Allahi wastaghfiruh, fa inni atubu fil yawmi mi'atamarra." And this hadith was collected by Imam Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O humanity, I command you to repent to Allah and to seek His forgiveness, for indeed I repent to Allah and seek His forgiveness 100 times every day." This is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who had his past sins and future sins forgiven. He used to seek Allah's repentance and forgiveness every day 100 times. All we have to do is to look at ourselves and the sins that we commit, and see, are we seeking repentance 100 times a day, or more than 100 times a day, or how much are we saying, "Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh." We should turn to Allah for repentance, because Allah is the one who accepts our repentance. Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani, rahimahullah, goes on to say, and he, referring to Allah Azza wa Jal, has pardoned their minor sins by staying away from their major sins. And here Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani is referring to the verse in Surah An-Nisa, chapter number 4, verse number 31, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَنُدَخِلْكُمْ مُدَخَلًا كَرِيمًا." And if you stay away from the major sins that we have prohibited you from, we will forgive you of your sins, referring to your minor sins, and enter you with a noble or generous entering into Jannah. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is showing us, if we could stay away from those major sins, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us of our minor sins. And for those people who want to know what are the major sins, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show His mercy on Imam al-Zahabi, who died in the 9th century Hijra, or the 9th century after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Hijra of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. He wrote a book called Al-Kaba'ir, or the Major Sins. And that book details some 70 major sins that stem from verses in the Quran or authentic hadith of the Prophet and Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That book, alhamdulillah, is translated into English, and it's available for whoever wants it, so that they can know the major sins, in order that they stay away from it, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive them and pardon them for their minor sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Najm, chapter number 53, verse number 31 says, وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. And those people who stay away from major sins and abominable deeds without falling in while staying away from I'm forgetting how to translate this. Gotta look at this. Yeah. Lord, His wasiul maghfirah, or His forgiveness is vast. Brothers and sisters, let's listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. And those who stay away from the major sins and abominable deeds, except that they just fall into minor sins. Indeed, your Lord, His forgiveness is vast and big. Some people, unfortunately, out of their ignorance, they think that they can go around practicing major sins in Islam, and when you call them, akhi, repent to Allah, seek Allah's forgiveness. He says, Allah's mercy is vast. Don't you know that Allah is forgiving? Yeah, Allah is forgiving when you stay away from those major sins and you just happen to slip with the minor ones. Allah's mercy is wide and vast. How are you going to be among those people who practice the major sins and expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be forgiven? He's forgiven to the people who seek His forgiveness. He's forgiving to the people who wants to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the people who feel sorry and bad for what they have done, to the people who try to mend their ways and leave alone what they used to do. In this case, Allah's mercy is wide and vast. If you're just a criminal, disbelieving, sinful, abominable deed practicer, how in the world can you have on your tongue, Allah's mercy is so vast? Do you know that He's going to show His mercy on you with all them sins that you got on your back? Let's not test Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Allah is severe in punishment. As He tells us in too many verses in Quran, He's severe in punishment. And it might be that we have too many major sins on our back that we might get a taste of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from His punishment. Let's know that if we stay away from those major sins, that Allah's mercy is wide enough to overlook our minor sins, but let's not be among the people who indulge in the major sins. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an authentic hadith collected by Imam Muslim, says, As-salawatu al-khamsu wal-jum'atu ila al-jum'ati wa ramadanu ila ramadana kaffaratun lima baynahunna idha ajtanibatil kabair. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the five salah and one Jumu'ah to the next Jumu'ah, and one Ramadan to the next Ramadan, is an atonement for the sins that were committed in between them. Meaning in between one Salat to the next, in between one Jumu'ah to the next Jumu'ah, in between one Ramadan to the next Ramadan, so long as they stay away from the major sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive us, and He's generous, and He's forgiving. All He wants us to do is to stay away from those major sins and those minor slips and mistakes and sins that we can't seem to shake or get away from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving and His mercy is vast. And this is what Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirwani is trying to point out when he says, and He has pardoned their minor sins by staying away from their major sins. So Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirwani here saying, and Allah has doubled and or multiplied the good deeds of His believing servants. And He has forgiven their major sins by their repentance. And He has pardoned their minor sins by staying away from their major sins. And He has left their major sins. And He has left the major sins of those who haven't repented under His will. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could either forgive them or punish them if they die with major sins on their back. And then Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirwani went on to say, verily Allah does not forgive the ascribing of partners to Him, but He forgives anything other than that to whom He pleases. And this is a verse, or two verses in Surah An-Nisa. One of them is verse number 116, I think, and the other one is 40-something of chapter number 4, where Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِي وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَى. Allah doesn't forgive that you ascribe partners to Him or that you commit shirk, but He forgives other than that to whomever He pleases. And this is what Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirwani is using as a proof to show that Allah could either forgive someone of their majors, of dying without repenting from their sins, or He could either overlook it. And this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying what He says in another, or implying what He says explicitly in another verse in Surah Az-Zumar, and I forgot the number of the verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, say, O my servants who have transgressed the bounds in sin, never despair of the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, He is Al-Ghafoor Ar-Rahim. Indeed, He is the forgiving, the merciful. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He would forgive all sins. All sins. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He will forgive all sins except that you ascribe shirk to Him or partners to Him. Intentionally, knowingly, and willingly committing shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive this of His servants, but He will forgive anyone, anything other than that. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that if we believe in Him and we follow His religion, but we fall short and we die committing major sins and minor sins, not repenting from this, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to make us among those people, but that they don't commit shirk or they don't ascribe any partners to Allah when they die, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive all of their sins if He likes. If He likes, He can punish them, and if He likes, He can forgive for whoever He will. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is showing us that He could either forgive you or punish you if you die on those sins. Showing you that yes, He could punish you for the sins He commits if He likes. Who is the one to test Allah to see if He likes to forgive us? Brothers and sisters, let's not be arrogant. Let's be humble and submitting to the Lord who we say we submit to when we say that the religion of Islam is the willing submission to Allah. Have we willingly submitted to the will of Allah? Or are we just calling people to the willing submission to Allah on our tongues, being the last people to submit willingly to Allah? Brothers and sisters in Islam, we need to submit to Allah willingly and repent to Him and seek His forgiveness, because He's the one to accept our forgiveness. And this is the explanation of the statement of Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirwani, and Allah has doubled and or multiplied the good deeds of His believing servants, and He has forgiven their minor sins by their repentance, and He has pardoned their major sins by staying away from their minor sin, from the minor sins, or He has pardoned their minor sins by staying away from the major sins, and He has left the major sins of those who haven't repented under His will. Verily Allah does not forgive the ascribing of partners to Him, but He forgives anything other than that to whomever He pleases. If there are any questions on the statement of Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirwani or the explanation, inshallah we can handle that before we end up with one hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now.
Of the Messenger of Allah would explain to us the period of time in which Allah forgives sin, minor sins, from Salat to Salat, from Jummah to Jummah, from
Ramadan
to Ramadan. Is he talking about, do we know if he's talking about the day Jummah or the Salat to Jummah?
It's referring to the Salat al Jummah. One Jummah, meaning the Salat al Jummah to the next Salat al Jummah. I wanted to take one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the last portion of this class, as it seemed that this first portion of belief seemed to be tied in with the portion of character, as it was touching mostly on the fact of repenting and seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah that would be the combination of the belief and the character. And this is going to be, inshallah ta'ala, a hadith that will show us how to act in our lives in a particular way, as we try to divide our classes into three sections: belief, character, and practice. So this hadith, inshallah, which is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim and other than them, and it's a little long, so I think I'll just translate the hadith. because the time is coming near to Isha, where Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that the people used to ask the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the good, but I used to ask him about the bad or the evil, fear that I might fall into it. So he used to ask the companion sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the bad so that he couldn't fall into it. Like I was advising myself firstly, and then you all, that you get your hands on that book, The Major Sins, so that you can know them so as not to fall into them. This was Hudhayfa ibn Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He used to ask the Prophet ﷺ about those things so that he wouldn't fall into them. Whereas other people would usually come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we have heard in many of the hadith, Ya Rasulallah, show me something that if I do, I would enter into Jannah. This is the good that the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What could I do to get into Jannah? What could I do to get into Jannah? What could I do to get into Jannah? But Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu was worried about the bad things so that he could stay away from them, thus being among the people who did the good deeds to enter into Jannah. He went on to say, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, so I said, O Messenger of Allah, we were a people in ignorance and in bad or evil times, and Allah has brought us this good, referring to the religion of Islam. And we're just like Hudhayfa in that sense, that we used to be living in the days of ignorance and in bad times and corruption, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us this good of Islam, alhamdulillah. As we were saying last week in last week's class, that Allah is the one that guided us to the straight path. And there's a verse in Surah Al-An'am towards the end, I don't remember the number, I forgot my Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing us that He is the one who guided us to this good, to this straight path, to this religion of Islam. Allah tells us, قُلْ إِنَّنِي هَدَانِي رَبِّي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ دِينًا قِيَّمًا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, say, truly my Lord has guided me to a straight path, a right religion, the religion of Ibrahim Hanifan. And Hanifan is the true, Jazakallahu khairah, the true Islamic monotheism, or to believe in the one God, or to worship Allah alone. And he was not among those who ascribe partners with Allah, referring to Ibrahim. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to be among those people who say, indeed my Lord has guided me to the straight path and the upright religion. Bismillah. The hadith goes on where Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, is there any evil after this good? Is there any bad or corrupt times after this good of Islam? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. Hudhayfa said, I said, is there any good after that bad, after that good? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yes, wa fihi dakhan. Yes, but there's going to be a little cloudiness in that good. The next good that is going to come after the first good of Islam, then the bad, or the times of fitna and the rough times, then when the good comes after that, it's going to be a little cloudiness, or it's not going to be completely good. And Allah knows best to the translation. Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is just like I am trying to explain the word dakhan, he said, and what do you mean by dakhan, or that cloudiness, or something like that? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there will be a people who will not be guided by my guidance. And in another narration, it says, and they will follow a sunnah or a path other than my sunnah. You will know them and you will be against them. Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, is there any good after that evil? The evil that, the good that has a little cloudiness, is there any evil after that good? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes. There will be callers at the doors of Jahannam. People calling you to the hellfire. Whoever answers their call will be thrown into the fire. Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the wise companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, O Messenger of Allah, describe them to us. Who are those people on the doors of the hellfire calling the people to go to the hellfire, and whoever answers their call, will be thrown into the hellfire? Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the wise companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, describe them to us so we can know who they are, so we don't answer their call. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they are from your own people and they speak your language. They are from your people and they speak your language. And the other characteristics of them were the first ones, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they are guided by other than my guidance, and they have a sunnah or a way other than my sunnah. They are from out your own people and they speak your own language. Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, if I find myself in that time, what should I do? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hold on to the leader of the Muslims and the group of Muslims who have given their allegiance to that leader. The leader of the Muslims in Islam, the Arabic word, is known as Imam or Khalifa, meaning the one single leader of the Muslims. He's known by either Khalifa or Imam, as it comes in both of these narrations, or as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In many hadith, he referred to the man, the single man that would be the leader of all of the Muslims that would come after him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to him as Imam in some hadith and Khalifa in other hadith. He said, hold on or to the group of the Muslims that have given their allegiance to this Khalifa, Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him heavily for this question that he's about to ask, as if the questions that he just asked wasn't good enough to help us get guidance so that we can know the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hudhayfa says, suppose there's no Khalifa in group of Muslims that have given their allegiance to him. Islam went practically 1400 years and we've always had a Khalifa or leader, Imam of the Muslims, and the majority of the Muslim Ummah have given bay'ah or allegiance to that leader. And maybe for centuries, every time someone read this hadith, they couldn't have imagined the question of Hudhayfa. Suppose there's no Khalifa and no group of people who have given bay'ah to him. Is there possible to be a time where the Muslims would live when we wouldn't have one ruler? Nowadays, unfortunately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us among the Muslims to bear witness, to live at a time when we don't have one leader, and we all know that the last leader fell in the Uthman Empire, that they call it. And since then, and I forgot how long ago that was, does anybody know how long ago that was? 1944? 24? Anyway, that would make it 60, 70 years or so. Before that, the Muslim Ummah has never lived without that one leader, the leader of all of the Muslims in the world. Not the leader of a particular city or a particular country or particular countries or cities or states, but the leader of all of the Muslims. The Muslim Ummah has never been tested without that leader until these past years. And Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked about that time that we find ourselves in. Suppose there's no leader and no group of Muslims who have given him the bay'ah or the allegiance, and we find ourselves in these times. Let's listen to the guidance, the finest guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we can know what to do living in these times. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I command you to stay away from all of the groups. I command you to stay away from all of the groups, even if you have to hold on to the bark of the trees, and to remain in that state until death overtakes you. Hear the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who doesn't speak on his own desires, only speaks from revelation revealed to him, answered a question that none of the Muslims could have ever imagined for 1400 years, that there would be a time where we wouldn't have one leader. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us guidance, the finest guidance, to do when we find ourselves in the times that we find ourselves in today without any leader, of all of the Muslims, to stay away from all of those groups, even if we have to hold on to the bark of the tree and die when we're in that state. This is the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his guidance for all of us as we see living in the world today that the Muslims, after the fall of that one leader of the Muslims, many groups have stemmed up in the Muslim world and others in the Muslim world, every one of them calling the people to their group, and that they have the best group, and that there is no group better than their group. Who are the people calling to that group? They are from your own people, and they speak your own language. And anywhere we go in the world, and we find Muslims, we find a group among them saying, I have a group, it's the best group, follow me. And all of those people can see the description that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave them. They're from among your own people, and they speak your own language. When I was in Medina, I was in the same situation. You have a group there, and the people saying that this is the leader, and that there's no group better than that group, and everybody should be a part of that group. And they're known as, with some, the Hanbali school of thought, that you call the people to follow your group, that this madhab of the Hanbali is the best madhab, there's no madhab better than it, because of this, and because of that, and because of this, and because of that. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and anywhere you go on the face of the earth, if you have Muslims, you have somebody among them saying, I have the group, that's the best group, follow me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described them, they're from us, and they speak our language, they're guided by others in his guidance, and they're following a way, others in his way. So this is guidance for all of us from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we said that we like to make this third section something that is practical to our lives. I don't find anything more practical than the time that we find ourselves in this situation, and the guidance from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If there was any good in what we presented today, then it's from Allah, and if there was anything wrong or incorrect, then it's from me, and I take the blame and I seek Allah's forgiveness. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in knowledge and in iman and in taqwa, and to forgive us of our sins and to accept our repentance. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والحمد لله. If there's any questions relating to the hadith, then inshallah ta'ala we can handle those before the salah inshallah. It's in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, and they both put it in the book called Kitab al-Fitn, or the chapter of, I think they call it afflictions or trials or something like that. They translate it in English. And they put it like that because when you find yourself in these times of fitna that we find ourselves in, then we have the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this hadith is good that it shows us, when we read this ayat, الْيَوْمُ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا, we see the truth of this statement. This day I have completed for you your religion and perfected my favor to you, and have chosen for you Islam as a religion. We see that there's no circumstances we can find ourselves in. No matter where we are, who we are, we find that Islam is the solution. That in the Quran, in the Sunnah, there's a solution. Ya rahmukallah. for every single problem, every single situation, Ya Rahmukallah, that we find ourselves in, we got the answer in a verse of Quran or a hadith of the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is why in our classes, I'm constantly encouraging all of us that every single belief that we hold, and every single statement that we make on our tongues, and every single act of worship or deed that we want to do, then we should make sure that it's in accordance with the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and with the book of Allah, the Quran. Because this is the religion of Islam, and we can't find ourselves in a situation where we need the wisdom or the understanding or the intelligence of anyone when we have our Lord, Rabbul Alameen, who sent down the complete and final religion with the answers and the solutions to every single problem and situation that we find ourselves in. Brothers and sisters in Islam, there's nothing that we can come across, that we can be facing, no difference of opinion, no situation, nothing, except that Allah has given us a verse in the Quran or a hadith from the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We don't have to rely on anyone except to bring us that ayah or that hadith of the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, walhamdulillah.
If you want to ask any questions about the hadith tonight, there's a question that I need to ask Monday night. The hadith from the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, reported in the Quran that once a kafir accepts Islam and the land of the kafir, and he doesn't leave, that his deeds won't be accepted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Has any other, besides what's on the face of the hadith, which is clear, is there any other explanation of the hadith except what's on the face of it?
No and yes. This hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the brother was saying, and it's collected by Imam al-Nasa'i and Imam al-Hakim, and it's authentic, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يقبل الله عز وجل عملا من مشرك بعدما أسلم أو يفارق المشركين إلى المسلمين. And this was a hadith that I quoted, not in this class, but a class that I teach in East Orange on Monday night called Purification of the Soul, where someone had questioned that after their Islam, that they were living in the house with the disbelievers, and they used to have pictures hanging on the wall and playing their loud music and practicing their disbelief. They said, is my salat accepted in that house or not? I didn't know anything to say except this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is translated something like this, that Allah azza wa jal will not accept the deeds of a disbeliever after he has believed, until he leaves the disbelievers and goes to the Muslims, or the believers. So here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he won't accept the deeds of a person until they leave, after they accepted Islam, until they leave the disbelievers and go to the believers, or to the Muslims. That the scholars of Islam, when they were making an explanation of this hadith, they said that they hated to say that a believer, none of his deeds would be accepted if they were in this state. But they also said, how can we say that their deeds will be accepted when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah azza wa jal will not accept the deeds of a disbeliever after he has believed, until he leaves the disbelievers and goes to the land of the believers. However, when we take this hadith into consideration, and this is why we're saying, no, there's no more explanation except the face value of this hadith. There is another explanation that wasn't included in the explanation of this hadith, but it's taken from other verses of Quran and other hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was our lesson today. And that is that Allah could forgive anything that He likes to whoever He likes. That Allah could forgive anything that He likes to whoever He likes, so long as they die not ascribing partners to Him. Now, yes.
If exist anymore, but is not on the right path, will the deed of the believer be manifested?
When you say someone isn't a but they're not on the straight path, I don't understand that.
Well, they are not living without killing the Islam.
But they say that they're Muslim. They bear witness to La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, that Islam is the religion of truth, and that no other religion is true other than the religion of Islam, except that they're falling short in their obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person is, inshallah ta'ala, what we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never to make us among. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen that person and to forgive them. But that person is one of those people, if they died in that state, that they would be under the will of Allah. That Allah would either punish them for that or forgive them. As far as the believer in that house, that believer should advise that person and order and rather command that person to repent to Allah and to seek Allah's forgiveness and to perform some good deeds in order that that person doesn't leave themselves open to the will of Allah, because Allah may punish them or forgive them. But the believer in that sense hasn't let a disbeliever in the house. And it wouldn't be considered, inshallah ta'ala, among the people who have believed and still remain with the disbelievers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Is there anything else? صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.